Just leave your darling mother to hear upon a tune. Lean back and stay a while, mother.
Domo World Monitors got you covered. I'm Ted Steele, and I'm beginning to feel the beat. The Sammy Davis beat. What's it all about, Sammy?
Daddy started out in San Francisco, tooting on his trumpet loud and mean.
Suddenly a voice said, go for it, Daddy, spread the picture on a wider screen.
And the voice said, Daddy, there's a million pigeons waiting to be hooked on new religions. Hit the road, Daddy, leave your common law wife. Spread the religion of the rhythm of life. And the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. Puts a tingle in your fingers and a tingle in your feet. Rhythm in your bedroom, rhythm in the street, yes. The rhythm of life is a powerful beat.
To feel the rhythm of life,
to feel the powerful beat,
to feel the tingle in your fingers,
to feel the tingle in your feet.
Daddy, go, 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 go.
He spread the gospel in Milwaukee, took his walkie-talkie to Rocky Ridge,
blew his way to Canton, then to Scranton, till he landed under the Manhattan Bridge.
Daddy was a new sensation, got himself a congregation, built up quite an operation down below.
With a fire type of glowing, while the mustard bell was blowing, all the cats were go-go-going.
Down below!
Daddy, Daddy, what a good sensation! To the planet, welcome congregation! With the fire department,
fly to your daddy, take a dive and swim to your daddy. Hit the floor and drop to your daddy.
Sammy telling it as the expression goes, the way it is. And here's the way it is in the sports world today. The bidding war over the services of UCLA basketball star Lou Alcindor continues. Yesterday, Alcindor said he planned to join the Milwaukee Bucks of the National Basketball Association for a contract estimated at $1.4 million. Today, American Basketball Association Commissioner George Mikan offered Alcindor a five-year million-dollar contract, a $500,000 cash bonus, and 5% of the New York Nets franchise in an effort to get him to change his mind. In the college all-star basketball game in Indianapolis, the East down the West, 104-80. And here's some monitor music for the winners. Wonderful, wonderful, Miss Beverly Wright.
Sometimes we walk hand in hand by the sea, and we breathe in the cool, salty air. You turn to me with a kiss in your eyes, and my heart feels a thrill beyond compare. And your lips cling to mine. It's wonderful, wonderful, oh, so wonderful, my love. Sometimes we stand on the top of the hill, and we gaze at the earth and the sky. You, and you melt in my arms,
man is now alive who remembers that Joe Garagiola and Johnny Berardino were once teammates in the big leagues. Joe and Johnny remember, however, and when they got together recently, they talked about baseball and a few other things.
Long before he was Dr. Steve Hardy on television's General Hospital, John Berardino was thinking of becoming an actor. The other day, he told me how Bill Veeck handled one situation involving him.
I was sold in the winter of 47 from St. Louis Browns to Washington, and I felt that...
Wait a minute. Don't slough that off. St. Louis Browns to Washington.
Well, this is what I'm getting at. St. Louis was finishing eighth, and Washington was finishing seventh, and I saw no point in going to Washington.
See, a lot of people don't know about that trade.
I decided to call it quits and then pursue a movie career. And that's when Bill Veeck came into the picture. He flew out to the coast and talked me into coming back into baseball by saying that he would double my salary, which he did, and gave me a bonus, and decided that perhaps since I was so determined to become an actor, he would insure my face for $1 million and thereby get some publicity. Another thing he did was to make me the beneficiary, and I thought that was interesting because I figured if I was going to get hit in the face with a fastball, I might collect $1 million.
You were never tempted to kind of duck into one.
No, I was always turning my head sideways on ground balls.
I remember your act very well.
More of Joe Garagiola's hot stove session with old teammate, handsome Johnny Berardino, in a moment here on the Monitor Beacon.
Hi, this is Big Willis. Did you hear Joe O'Brien bought an expensive wig for his wife? Yeah, then he took it off his income tax. He charged it off to overhead.
Oh!
Is that worth 5,000 Triple S blue stamps? Well, I think so. And so will you when you listen to my show and find out why. The Big Wilson Show, weekdays, 9 to noon on WNBC Radio 660.
All you need is just one break. If you are an employer or personnel manager, you can use the services of Just One Break Incorporated, the unique, no-fee, non-profit agency whose professional staff will help you fill your job openings with competent, qualified, handicapped workers. For details, write to JOB Incorporated, 717 First Avenue, or call 986-0044. The handicapped worker cares about his job.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
Ted Steele here, eavesdropping as you are to the tall stories of two former big league teammates, Johnny Berardino and Monitor's Joe Garagiola.
As kind of a far-out question, I asked John Berardino if he ever got ideas about casting ballplayers as actors, like, say, a spot for Yogi Berra.
Well, incidentally, we used Yogi Berra one time.
See, there was a spot.
4 years ago, as a brain surgeon.
Wait a minute.
He made no reference, though, to being a brain surgeon. It was a title we gave him in order to induce him to come on the show.
What did he do as a brain surgeon?
Well, we had him seated in the coffee shop, and it was a trumped-up thing where he was sitting there, and the coffee shop was full, and he decided to let my head nurse and myself have his table. So we exchanged a couple of looks, and as he started out, he turned back and looked at me, and I was staring at him, and my head nurse said to me, "Steve, why are you looking at him like that?" I said, "You know, I've seen that face somewhere before."
I couldn't let my old teammate Johnny Berardino leave without asking him a favor.
You got to do one thing for me. I don't care if it's in violation of a contract. If you ever get Yogi Berra on again as a brain surgeon, I'd like to go on too, either as his patient or brain surgeon too. Okay?
You've got a deal, Joe.
All right, because...
If I can do it for Yogi, I can do it for you. Every time you come west, look me up and we'll see what we can. We'll work something out, all right?
Be two Italian brain surgeons and be stereo. That's what it be. Stereo brains. John, good luck to you, and you've just been a great credit to all the people who know you, and, you know, when you hear success stories about ball players, I guess, this is no rap on Ring Lardner, but you were one of the first that could do something besides just hit a baseball and throw it, and for 13 and a half years, that's a long time to be a big leaguer.
Well, thank you, Joe. How long were you in?
I was 9 years.
9 years, sir.
Yeah.
Well, in a few years, we'll be on the pension plan.
Yeah, but you're making old-timers games. I'm not even good enough to make old-timers games, John. Thanks again.
Thank you, Joe.
The star of the television show General Hospital and former teammate of mine on the Pittsburgh Pirates, John Berardino. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports.
the name Ruby Begonia mean anything to you? It do to the Romantics.
Ruby and the Romantics are hurting each other.
No one in the world ever had another sweet as mine. Cause nowhere in the world could there be a boy as true as you.
Over, the April showers are on their way. But you don't have to wait until May for flowers.
Here's a reminder from your FTD florist. Easter Sunday's just around the corner, and now is the time to call or visit your nearby FTD florist. When you order early, he'll assure on-time delivery, even save you money on out-of-town orders. And this year, there's more. Many FTD florists can send a combination of flowers and candy, but flowers plus or flowers alone, the time to order for Easter is now. The one who can make it all happen is your FTD florist.
And after the flowers, she shall have music from Monitor and Glenn Yarborough.
Another day, the sun will set upon the empty hours of a lonely man.
Somehow, some way, I'm gonna get to you and satisfy.
hours a lonely man. But fear besets my soul, and I'm not sure if I can get there without falling down. Deep within me, I feel that secret tingling, and I'll surely feel that long time coming down.
Did you know that there's an increasing number of people for whom the trap of drug addiction may exist in their own bathroom medicine cabinets? Here's a report from John Burns, noted authority on drug abuse.
There is a growing breed of Americans who, abetted by their physicians, are indiscriminately using drugs that can become physically or psychologically addictive to some people in fairly short order, and whose long-term effects are still largely unknown. Many drug experts regard these pill poppers as a greater potential health hazard than hallucinogenic drugs such as LSD and speed, or even hard narcotics such as heroin, cocaine, and opium. Without question, hallucinogens and hard narcotics have more damaging effects on users, but since they can't be obtained legally in the United States by individuals, they are used by relatively small numbers of people. PEP pills and barbiturates, on the other hand, are readily available by prescription. Medical men are quick to point out the specific beneficial effects of the mood-changing pills in the treatment of various neurotic and nervous illnesses. Yet observers believe that many people have come to view these so-called innocent drugs as cure-alls for all sorts of problems, real or imagined, with implications that could be damaging for society as well as for the individuals involved. We must consider the possibility that a kind of chemical subculture composed of persons who use compounds for purposes not originally intended could begin to thrive in this country, says Dr. James Goddard, former head of the Food and Drug Administration. Dr. Goddard fears that this group would be escapist, that instead of tackling personal and social problems realistically, they would opt out of life's difficulties through chemistry. Several recent national surveys indicate that the use of mood-changing drugs already is widespread in the United States. These studies show that nearly half of the U.S. adult population has taken a mood-changing drug at some time, and that one of every four adult Americans had taken such a drug the previous year. In 1967, Americans spent about $400 million to have some 84 million prescriptions for tranquilizers filled. By contrast, in 1957, only 7% of the persons interviewed in a national poll said they had even heard of tranquilizers. The typical American user of mood-changing drugs isn't a hippie or even a college student. Rather, the composite portrait drawn from several recent studies is that of a suburban housewife. Women are about twice as likely as men to use the drugs, with the highest incidence coming among women with three or four children. Usage is higher among persons from families whose annual income is $10,000 a year or more than from lower-income families. While the heroin addicts of the ghetto and the pot smokers of the campus have our attention these days, we might do well to pay some serious attention to those innocent-looking pills that threaten to affect the health and well-being of millions of adult citizens. This is John Burns for Monitor.
Rostochuk, music by Alexander Karazov. For Monitor listeners in Mankato, a town in Minnesota, where we're heard on KYSM. And for Monitor listeners everywhere, I'm your host, Ted Steele.
When a young man's fancy turns, it's for love his poor heart yearns. Cause it's spring and girls all sing.
Yes, it's spring and I'm Ted Steele turning my fancy, but the fifth dimension is still under a winter sign, Aquarius. Basic rules of political life seems to be that any tax law, no matter how temporary it is alleged to be at the beginning, somehow never gets taken off the books or even reduced. One of the few exceptions is the federal tax on theater admissions, and Monitor's Leonard Probst reports on that and some other tax facts about the theater.
The theater is different from almost everything else in New York City in one respect. It's almost the only thing for which there is no tax, no direct tax at least. If you're going to one of the new hit musicals, for instance, say 1776 or Promises, Promises, and you pay $15 for an orchestra seat, not one penny is taxed. There used to be a federal excise tax of 20%, then 10%, but that was canceled. And so was the 5% New York City sales tax. The reason is that the theater needs every cent it can get, and even tax officials agree. Aside from that, the theater is affected like any other business. It has to pay such things as a real estate tax, office occupancy tax, and small business taxes. But it is unusual in that if you're entertaining a business client and take him to the theater, that is deductible as a legitimate business expense. Like most business in America, the theater is structured to take advantage of the federal income tax. If you lose money on any investment, you can show it as a loss on your tax statement. And if you happen to be in the upper brackets and pay an income tax of 82%, which is the top, you can then deduct 82% of what you lose. So if you're a wealthy investor and, say, put up $100,000 and the show closes at a total loss, you've lost not $100,000 but a mere $18,000, while the government has lost the rest, $82,000. A top Broadway tax lawyer who handles such investments told me you have to love the theater to invest in it, even with all the tax deductions. This year, if Broadway runs true to form, there will be 50 shows and five will make a profit. Leonard Probst, NBC News New York, reporting for Monitor.
Stay with Monitor throughout the weekend for more information about every aspect of the tax picture, here at home and abroad. Everybody knows that Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. Eddie Fisher's different. All he wants to pick is a rose for his rose. It's his new one, and it may never grow old.
This is the last time I walk into this garden, all alone, without the one I love. Cause today is a day I'm gonna bring my rose to stay. Oh, I waited patiently, now the time is right for me, so I'll reach down, lie on the ground, and pick a rose for my love. Cause somehow I know she knows this love deep in my heart is still alive. I'll pick a rose for my love, cause the day I'm gonna go and bring her back to me right by my side. Well, I'm coming wrong, I'm coming wrong. Years ago, when I was just a boy, and her wealthy parents didn't fancy me, so they sent my rose away to a far off lonely place. But when it was time to leave, my rose cried out to me, remember me. Let's try and see. Somehow I know she knows this love deep in my heart is still alive. I'll pick a rose for my rose, for the day I'm gonna go and bring her back to me right by my side. I'm coming rose, now as I walk slowly from this garden, I'll change tickets and find it in my hand. And somewhere patiently my rose is waiting there for me. Soon I won't be alone, cause I'll bring my rose back home where he arrived. For her surprise, I'll bring the rose for my rose. Cause somehow I know she knows his love deep in my heart is still alive. I'll pick a rose for my rose, cause the day I'm gonna go and bring her back to me right by my side. I'm coming round, yeah, I'm coming round. But this love deep in my heart is in a lie.
Everybody knows why Barbara Streisand got her big chance. She's the half-sister of Rosalind Kind. And we'll hear from one of the sisters in a moment here on the Monitor Beacon.
Dial Plaza 78866 and WNBC Radio will put you in contact. The Sunday evening telephone show that invites you to discuss today's issues with three clergymen. This is Mike Moss. I'm your host. My guests are the Reverend James Crawford, Rabbi Mordecai Waxman, and Father Don Pryor. This week, our topic is Social Change. Has Religion Kept Pace? Be in contact. Listen to and call WNBC Radio, Plaza 78866, tomorrow night at 9:05.
I am New York woman. I'm a busy gal, yet I spend 3 hours a day listening to radio. Want to reach me? At work or play, even in my bedroom? Do it with radio. 20 million New York radios, 20 million salesmen, talking to me, New York woman.
New Yorkers are tuned in people. Reach them with radio. New York Radio.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
To care, and I want to feel, I want the feels, happiness brings when love is real.
Her sister, Rosalind Kind, who got into show business through the family entrance, but sounds like she's about to go through the front door on her own. They say that Barbara sends flowers to every performance of Barbara.
Here's a reminder from your FTD florist. Easter Sunday's just around the corner, and now is the time to call or visit your nearby FTD florist. When you order early, he'll assure on-time delivery, even save you money on out-of-town orders. And this year, there's more. Many FTD florists can send a combination of flowers and candy, but flowers plus or flowers alone, the time to order for Easter is now. The one who can make it all happen is your FTD florist.
And here's a bouquet from Monitor Music, a new one by the Sandpipers. Capitol Hill. Of the people who go to Washington to serve as senators, the vast majority are lawyers. The next largest group comes from the business world. Very few, especially in this era of city living, are farmers. Paul Duke of NBC News spoke to one of the few.
The aides to Senator Milton Young of North Dakota say he's a dirt farmer at heart. He's a plain-spoken man who speaks the farmer's language because that's what he was for a good part of his life. Young was the son of a pioneer Dakota's family and was born on a farm at Berlin, North Dakota, 71 years ago.
I drove horses as a young man. I plowed them, I drove bunders, I cussed them thrice. I did everything that anyone did on a farm. I even had a fair dairy herd at one time.
But Young, like many other youngsters from rural areas, did not have any boyhood ambition to stay down on the farm.
Well, I think my greatest ambition as a young man was to become a baseball pitcher. Every little town then had a baseball team, and even quite a few salary people. We call them salary people. They were young men from other states who come in there to play baseball. But I failed as a baseball pitcher, and then I had a great desire to be a musician, and I failed in that, too.
But Young did not fail at politics. He served on his local township board, then moved on to the state legislature. But along the way, he was hit by the Depression, which devastated the wheat belt.
I went broke with the rest of them. I lost some land, and I owed probably five times as much as I was worth. For 10 years, I never bought a new suit of clothes. I had one quite a poor one, worn out. In fact, during those 10 years of depression, I never even got to Fargo, which is only 100 miles away. We were just too poor to go anyplace. We lived a very simple, austere life, an experience that I'll never forget.
Milton Young came to the Senate in 1945 and was elected to another six-year term only last November. He had a well-financed campaign running into the thousands of dollars, far different from his early political days.
I remember my first campaign, I had $60, and I made it for 60 days. I got all over the county, and I believe I saw about everybody on $60.
Young has devoted most of his career in Congress to farm matters and has been a principal shaper of wheat legislation. And now that a Republican is president, he finds visits to the White House a bit more pleasant.
The Nixon party is a little different in that they permit the guests to go all over the White House except in the bedrooms, and everyone seems to like this better. It's a little more homey. People are scattered out over the White House a little more, and they like it very much.
Senator Milton Young, Republican leader on farm policy in Congress. Paul Duke for Monitor on Capitol Hill.
Capitol Hill Monitor, talking to men in high place. Now Tony Bennett, in his new record, finds the highest place of all for himself.
I dreamed last night of a place. Somehow it's over the sun. That land is waiting for us. There is a chance to begin a life of hope and relief, where everyone is a god. I have found a way to make the flowers laugh so they could blink and smile when we would pass under the rainbow. Of a place. Somewhere it's over the sun. That land is waiting for us. There is a chance to begin a life of hope and relief. Of a place. Somehow it's over the sun.
Checking Monitor Sports for you in exhibition baseball games today. It was Cincinnati 9, St. Louis 7, Washington 5, Houston 1. Hey, I guess the Senators are starting to win for manager Ted Williams. New York Yankees 5, Pittsburgh 1, Kansas City 4, Minnesota 1, Detroit 10, Boston 7. Yeah, those world champs are starting to hit again. New York Mets 5, Philadelphia 2, Atlanta B Team 7, Montreal 3, San Francisco 9, Cleveland 5, and Seattle 8, California 5. But as you heard earlier on Monitor, will the Seattle ballpark be as ready as the team? Guess who's coming to Monitor?
Hello out there, this is Gary Moore, inviting you to join me on my Monitor debut. I play the role of guest host tomorrow night, right here on NBC. Actually, I'm looking forward to it for two reasons. First, and most obvious, having been a Monitor fan for all these many years, it's kind of a kick being part of it for a change. And second, like most of you, I too am suffering the pangs of annual headache number 1040, otherwise known as filling out the tax return. So I'm hoping to pick up a few pointers from our expert guests. And we have a few surprises lined up, too. So I hope you'll take time out and join me tomorrow night for more of Monitor 69.
Did you see where George Washington got into trouble this week at Valley Forge? A 19-year-old kid with that honored name ran his car off the road in Valley Forge Park and rammed a tree, putting both himself and the tree out of action. Thank goodness the original George didn't have a driver's license and an old jalopy, or there's no telling how that revolution would have ended. NBC News on the Hour next, and by George, this is Ted Steele.
New York City area volunteers of the Leukemia Society of America are ringing doorbells and visiting friends and neighbors to aid in a medical crusade against leukemia. Leukemia kills approximately 30,000 Americans, adults and children, annually. The Leukemia Society of America concentrates all of its human and financial resources in the fight against leukemia. Funds raised during the New York City appeal will be used to support the Society's nationwide medical research program, to provide leukemia education here in the New York City area, and to aid leukemia patients and families in need of assistance. Your dollars are urgently needed to help continue and expand the fight against leukemia. Please give generously when your neighbor volunteer calls on you, or send your contribution to Leukemia Society of America, 211 East 43rd Street, New York, New York, 10017. That's Leukemia Society of America, 211 East 43rd Street, New York, 10017.
You are listening to WNBC Radio in New York.